Our first lesson this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed."
Our second scripture lesson is from Mark chapters 1 and 2. Listen again for God's word. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, his brother Andrew, and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went a little further. He saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. And as he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, let me say it again. I'm back. I'm back from my journeys of vacation and sabbatical. And I have this one question for you. Did anything happen while I was away? Walking through the building on Friday, I'd say yes. Catching up with the staff, I'd certainly say yes. Looking through my email inbox, I'd say, whoa. If you're hoping for a reply from me, you might want to email me again. I may need to declare email bankruptcy and start entirely over. Yes, a lot of things have happened while I was away, and I'd like to say thank you. Thank you for all that you did while I was out there somewhere being a pilgrim. Thank you for your part in this ministry, for your work to sustain who we are and what we do, for your prayers, for your care, and for even taking a pilgrimage yourself. I told Tammy on Friday afternoon that my head is swimming with all that I see going on and what it means to re-enter. This tells me that I truly have been away. I had time to unplug from all the routines and the details of ministry and do something different for a while, like rest. After 21 years of church ministry, 11 of them with you, I really needed that. While the pandemic got in the way of me taking the entire sabbatical this year, I did get a wonderful break, and I am grateful. Next year will be sabbatical part 2. Leaving home, going on a journey, and then coming back reminds me of J.R.R. Tolkien's book, The Hobbit, or more specifically, its subtitle, There and Back Again. The story begins like this. In a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit. Not a nasty, dirty, wet hole filled with the ends of worms or an oozy smell. Not yet a dry, bare, sandy hole with nothing in it to sit down on or to eat. It was a hobbit hole, and that means comfort. Bilbo Baggins was settled in a cozy place filled with fine furniture, doilies, and a well-stocked kitchen. It was a very homey, all-too-comfortable space that he invited his visitor, the wizard Gandalf, to share. Bilbo wanted to sit and smoke and enjoy the comforts of his settled life, and he wanted Gandalf to join him. Gandalf replied, "I have no time to blow smoke rings this morning. I'm looking for someone to share in an adventure that I'm arranging, and it's very difficult to find anyone." Bilbo's initial response was, "I should think so. In these parts, we are plain, quiet folk and have no use for adventures. Nasty, disturbing, uncomfortable things. Makes you late for dinner. I don't want any adventures, thank you. Not today. Good morning. But please come for tea anytime," he said. "Anytime you'd like. Why not tomorrow? But goodbye for now." Eventually, Bilbo does go on that adventure, the journey out there beyond his home in the Shire. And he came back with many tales to share of what he did and who he became. I've been there and back again myself this summer and have many stories to share from my travels. I went to the Standing Stones of Columsill in Pennsylvania, hiked with my son Sam in Minnewaska, traveled the Grand Circle of national parks in Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, and Utah with my family. I went to a strange land called Texas to see my mother for the first time in 2 years. I went to a wedding celebration and even to the ocean at Dewey Beach in Delaware. I felt like a tourist sometimes, and other times I felt like a pilgrim. Sometimes I felt the fast pace and moving from place to place to see as much as possible, kind of feeling like a consumer of those places. Other times I was able to slow down, notice my surroundings, even see and hear God at work in me and appreciate my family and the places we visited. Some of the vacation spots had powerful pilgrimage moments, and at some of the pilgrimage places, I felt more like a tourist. Either way, I felt an immersion in different landscapes and people and the disruption of my daily routine. Something pilgrimage is supposed to do, disrupt our normal routine. But now I'm back, and I've learned through my work with the Credo program at the Board of Pensions that reentering life and work is an important part of any journey. Coming back again is just as important as going there. It's what Christine Walters-Paintner in her book, The Soul of a Pilgrim, calls the practice of coming home. Important things have happened in your lives and our ministry together. I'd like to hear about them, to catch up, to see what I missed, and to share with you what I did, and in all of it, to see who we have become and now that we are back. My pilgrimage and vacation weren't simply about being away. They were also about coming back again to you and to our life together. What happened in your life that you would want to share with me is a question on my mind. And the other might be, how might we be pastor and people again after 3 months apart? Back on the last Sunday of June, when you commissioned me to my sabbatical, I wasn't sure what I was going to experience on my travels any more than Abram or the disciples did in our scripture readings today. Just before our reading from Genesis 12, Abram's father Terah had uprooted the family and moved them from the land of Ur to the land of Canaan. We're given one possible clue as to why Terah would move his family. His son died in Ur. The Bible says that Haran died before his father Terah. That could mean Haran died at a young age before his father died, or it could mean that Terah was present, maybe even holding his son as he died. Truthfully, it just sounds like grief upon grief to me, and it makes me wonder if Terah needed to find a new place to live. Reminded Terah too much of his son. So Terah settled in the land of Canaan with his wife, his other two sons, Abram and Nahor, and their wives. If ever you've had to move, you know that it isn't an easy job. And once you're in a new place, you don't want to think about moving again for a long time, if ever. After the packing and the loading and the unloading and the unpacking of all those boxes, after building the pens for the animals, after setting up the tents for his wife, his sons, and their wives, after changing your mailing address at the post office with the credit cards, closing out bills, starting new accounts, finding new doctors, new schools, new friends, who would want to move again? Probably not Terah or anyone in his family. But God had something in mind for Terah's son Abram. And for his wife. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will bless those who bless you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." We don't know for sure Abram's initial response to those words. Did I hear that right? Move again? Or even how he told his wife, who might have said, "You heard what?" But right after those words, the story says, Abram went. Why he went into the unknown future, we don't know. But in hindsight, we can see what unfolded and what he would have missed. He would have missed out on where God was taking him, on who his people, the next generations, would become, a light to the nations. And he wouldn't be an important part of why you and I know God's love in Jesus Christ. He would not have seen all of this happen, for sure, but his saying yes to God created a pilgrim's tale that impacted not only his life and his family and his future, but it impacted you and me. Because Abram left his settled life and the routines he had, he embarked on a pilgrimage that you and I continue to this day as we discover God on our journeys of life and faith as well. Jesus continued that movement, that pilgrimage in our New Testament, in our New Testament readings. We hear him invite the fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, and the tax collector, Levi, to leave their settled lives and head out on a pilgrimage with Jesus. They wouldn't know where they were going ahead of time. They'd have to leave their occupations for a time, maybe even forever. But along the way, they would discover that God was on the move again, that God wanted to do something important in people's lives, that God was inviting them to move as well and follow the path of love for this world. Because that's what a faith in motion does. It helps you discover that God is in more places, doing more things than you might realize. God is revealing hope and grace and calling for peace and justice more often than a settled, stationary life and a stationary faith will see. If the faith we profess doesn't move us inwardly or outwardly, our settled ways divert us from the pilgrim's life and from the ministry to which God is calling us with words like, "Follow me." This is why I'm looking forward to our fall together, to reconnect after our time apart and see where you have seen God in the sorrows and the joys of life, to explore together what new possibilities for ministry lay ahead for us, to accept Jesus' call to follow him and enter the next phase of our pilgrimage together, to keep moving forward in faith to see who we will meet, the ministry we will do, to keep coming, and then to come back here again and again to share the stories of our travels. Tammy and I want to invite you on a journey this fall with three words: reconnect, remember, and recommit, because we think they're really important for our life together. It's been a while since we've been together, and we believe that these three words will really help define our journey of reconnecting and remembering and recommitting. We reconnect by gathering together in the best and the safest ways we can, hopefully in person, to get to know each other again, to build our sense of belonging, which we have missed over 18 months. Reconnecting helps us remember who we are as followers of Jesus Christ and Christ's church here at FPCY. We'll revisit our six ministry priorities that we committed to over 3 years ago and around which we are organizing our life and ministry: radical hospitality, compelling worship, lifelong faith formation, intentional fellowship, inspirational stewardship, and transformational mission. And then as we reconnect and remember, we'll recommit ourselves to this journey of faith that we're on together. I hope you will read with me The Great Spiritual Migration, how the world's largest religion is seeking a better way to be Christian. Christianity is at a crossroads, some would say, even an existential crisis that's facing both, it has internal and external challenges, and it's trying to find its way again as a religion. But that's not really the most important thing for us. It's how does the story of faith in God, who brings people out of tombs and out of slavery and into new life, how does that shape who we are and what we do over and over again? I'm coming back from a journey. But we're all coming back from some form or from some journey that of some form or fashion, especially in the midst of this pandemic and its disruptions and its separation. We're coming back, some of us in person, some of us still virtually, to reconnect with one another, to share our experiences and what we've learned along the way, and then to recommit to our life together as a church and ministry and an expression of God's love in Jesus Christ. So like the disciples, Jesus' invitation remains the same to us. Follow me and discover what God is doing in your life every day and in this greater world. And like God's call to Abram, when we say yes, we too will be a blessing to this world God loves. Amen.